Did you bring me a zombie takeout?
Zombie takeout? You just had a heart attack.
A small one? Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just want to announce that last night, as we're recording this, Tuesday night, I was a guest on the Geek Questioner podcast again. I did it a couple of years ago. It'll be out, I think, on Sunday. Of course, I'll be posting it on all of our social media. Big thank you to Charlie and Aaron for having me on. It was a ridiculous amount of fun. You'll understand that when you listen to it.
Yeah, I will definitely give it a listen.
And on to this week's movie, which is from 1975, The Sunshine Boys. Of course, this is our Neil Simon tribute. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Frumpy's Potato Chips. You'll hate them so much, you won't be able to stop eating them.
And they're not funny. No. Also brought to you by New Jersey. People don't go there unless they really have to.
I'm not going to get into this part. You really don't need to go to the shore, at least not some people.
All right, so we have an aging vaudeville star. Well, I guess he was a star decades earlier than this. But he's fighting the retirement thing. He's holding on to a career for dear life. But he's just, of course, not getting anywhere. His nephew is doing everything he can to get him some work, acting in some commercials, which, with the whole news of the one Cosby Show guy, you know, being shamed for working at a real job.
Jeff Allen,
Jeffrey Allen. Kind of interesting that we're seeing, you know, you do what you can.
I think that, well, obviously that's been a lifestyle that actors have had to deal with for a long time.
Of course.
You need a day job a lot of times. And the shame that goes, you know, shaming actors for having a day job is kind of a thing too, because there's this perception that if you are successful in the entertainment industry on any level, you're
a millionaire.
Yeah.
We're millionaires because we're on camera right now.
Exactly.
And for the record, Trader Joe's is a sweet, sweet gig.
I was cheering about that when that news broke, because apparently it's, you know, great benefits and very flexible hours, which allows him to audition and, you know, work when he can. He has like one or two acting gigs a year.
Back in the day, not even that long ago. Well, maybe it was a while back now. I was really trying to get and close to getting a gig there myself, but did not. But I mean, you're talking about, you know, benefits, you're talking about reduced price in food. Mm-hmm. You'd be an idiot to not do it. So we have this older man, though, trying to get in the business, stay in the business still, just taking whatever he can. He just doesn't have his head for it anymore. You know, he can't really remember the lines anymore. Navigating through New York, which, you know, can be difficult for anybody. It's just not going well. And so he gets this big opportunity, but the problem is he has to work with his old partner from vaudeville who he has despised for about 12 years, I think they said.
Well, 12 years. He retired 12 or so, 15, 12, 12 to 15 years earlier. But he despised him longer than that because he just irritated him. It was little irritations.
They worked together for 43 years. Yeah, exactly. And every, like, you know, finger poke and spit, you know, drove him nuts. I was kind of wondering, wow, you know, I guess that's the benefit of just working together over Skype. You know, you don't have to worry about anything like that. See if Skype's around in like another 20 years. I don't know.
You think we'll be doing this in another 20 years? You think YouTube will exist in another 20 years? I mean, well, it's been 13. It wouldn't be a surprise.
Actually, it wouldn't be 20 years. We haven't consistently worked over the last 26 years together.
Off and on.
But, so it'd be 17 to get us to 43 since we started, but there was a gap. But anyway, the gig is on, you know, national television. It would get them some great exposure, you know, introduce them to a new generation, but they have to somehow work together. Now, of course, if you're a mature adult, you could do it.
But they were entertainers.
More despicable people have held their nose and worked with somebody for longer periods of time than these guys were expected to. But Willie Clark, Walter Matthau's character, he just had to... I think he was using this more as an opportunity to get one over on George Burns' character, Al Lewis. Yeah, how could I forget that name?
It took me till about 45 minutes in the movie to put together Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, I was kind of like, really? I mean, would you really have an act like that? I don't think so. Of course, it all goes south really quickly. I mean, they can't even rehearse. Then they have like a technical rehearsal. It's one thing to have a rehearsal at one of their apartments where it all goes to shit. But when they have one in front of course, the execs and the studio and everything, and that goes to shit, well, I'd say hilarity ensues, but it leads to a heart attack.
Well, yeah, and hilarity, I don't know what the intention... Oh, hilarity ensues. It begs the question of what was the intention of the movie? Was it mostly supposed to be funny?
Neil Simon has this very... man, he has this real strange way of, you know, pathos and humor all wrapped into one. And, I mean, it's like one of the first roles I got to play was...
Clark?
No, it was actually another show of his, Plaza Suite, which Walter Matthau, of course, played also. But it was this aging, middle-aged executive, and he's cheating on his wife, and it was just this, you know, it was kind of this Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with, like, zingers thrown in and one-liners thrown in for good measure. Only I don't think I'd read Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf or seen it until... years after this. So I was like, wow, how did Neil Simon take that and do this? But he liked doing this with dudes too. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you know, the male relationship and just how guys want to kill each other, which you don't really see all that often if you think about it.
Well, and you can tell this is from an earlier time in a lot of ways.
Of course.
The first one that struck me is the length of the credits. I forgot how long opening credit sequences used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very kind of monotonous and one level. And I have a feeling it was designed to just allow people some time to get settled in the theater.
Yeah.
Because this was 75, just before home video was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Matthau was playing about 20 years older than he was at the time. 20, 25 years older. Did a great job aging him. And he did a great job playing it physically.
And he just looks old. I mean, he's kind of like Abe Vigoda.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where they thought Abe Vigoda was like way older than he was on Barney Miller, and he wasn't as old as
But they did a makeup job and then a hairpiece, I think, in this movie. That's not
in this case, yeah.
He was in his mid-50s. He did not look like that.
Right.
There's what feels like a lot of jokes about cognitive decline.
Yeah.
He's like the doddering old man, but to the level that it is just sad.
Right. There is a lot of sadness to this because, I mean, these guys, you get, because they really hit it home that these guys used to be fucking geniuses. Yeah. You know, like, yes, their act was hacky that they actually did when they actually did it.
Yeah, it was
vaudeville. Although it was that is not language that they would have been using in vaudeville.
Right.
Playing in fucking Peoria. Mm-hmm. You know, you would not have pulled half that shit. That was the act verbatim. I don't think so. In fact, I saw in the trivia that Red Skelton may have withdrawn, turned down the role because he might have.
I have that. Yeah.
That he turned the materials it too blue.
Yeah, he turned it down after realizing his income was higher as a stand-up, more than it would have been from the movie when it was replaced by Matthew. But yeah, there's a lot of jokes about cognitive decline, and to the point where, like, Clark, Matthew's character, is completely lost at the beginning of the movie.
Oh yeah,
like he accidentally went with Sue. I think he went west instead of east.
Right, he was on the west side.
Yeah. And the mechanic is trying to explain this to him. He ended up at a garage instead of.
Did you catch who the mechanic was?
Yes, I am never going to get used to young F. Murray Abraham.
I didn't recognize him until I was kind of like, where the fuck was F. Murray Abraham in this?
I caught it at the time, but I am never going to get used to him young. But he went to this garage instead of the ad studio he was supposed to be going to. And the mechanic is explaining it over and over again. You have to go to the east side, and he's just gone.
Right. I guess the joke is his stubbornness. You know, you can't tell me I've lived here, but that's not, I mean, that's how it is, but man.
They were playing him as stubborn. They were playing him as completely unaware.
Yeah.
And it works as a drama.
At
the beginning with you know, his nephew Richard, played by Richard Benjamin. I completely forgot about Richard Benjamin, by the way.
Every time we do a Richard Benjamin movie, we're like, I forgot about that guy.
Have we done others? Okay.
I think we have. We've talked about him before. I think The Burbs, maybe. I think
possibly.
There were a couple other movies. We haven't done Saturday the 14th, have we?
We should.
may have. I don't know. Maybe my cognitive dissonance.
That could be. But that whole beginning of him with the two of them, it plays as a drama really well. So
when he pulls the knife on him.
but that was later when they were rehearsing. But the beginning when they were just covering Clark.
Yeah.
You know, his backstory, effectively. It works really well as a drama, which makes me wonder if it was intended to be comedy. I mean, I laughed twice in the first half hour. With the line about his finger was in a splint for a month after after Lewis was poking Clark and Clark had a piece of metal on. And the line that killed me, as Clark was saying this about Lewis, as a comic, no one could touch him. As a human being, no one wanted to touch him.
Yeah, Matthau is the reason I couldn't imagine this. I saw they had other people that were talking about playing these guys, but I just can't picture anybody but Matthau carrying this off.
And Burns too. I mean, the subtlety in his performance was just stunning.
That is true. Burns is very good. Maybe I would have rather seen someone maybe a little bigger in there. I don't know.
Their chemistry wasn't great. I will admit that's one of the few flaws of the movie. Is they're individually they're amazing, but they just didn't quite play off of each other as well as I would have liked. By the way, Burns' character is Al Lewis.
Yeah, which is kind of an odd name to pick because I mean, Grandpa? Everyone knew who Al Lewis was back in the 70s.
But also we got to see Burns without his hairpiece, which was. I had no idea he wore a piece.
There was another movie where he didn't have a hairpiece too, and I cannot for the life of me remember which one it was. There was something where that was kind of like a shocking thing where they come into the nursing home and he's, you know, without his piece. And it's like, yeah, you can't expect a dude to still have his hair when he's fucking 90 years old. I mean, he's 80 here.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that I liked a lot of the one-liners that Matthau got out.
Mm.
And of course that kind of paves over the drama that's really lying underneath us. That's really what Simon does, whether it's, you know, just these human tragedies and people just going on and just delivering one-liners over it.
And the one-liners were great. That Matthau really shined with that stuff, but the quieter scenes with Burns, where he just played it so subtly and so gently.
It took 45 minutes to bring the two together.
Yeah. And it didn't drag somehow.
No, you, like there's something I have. It's on paper, Clark talking to his nephew for half an hour should have been dull as hell, but Matthew can make anything work.
Yeah.
And really, that is the first half hour of the movie. It's Matthew talking to his nephew, calling him in the middle of the night, you know, not because he didn't know what time it was, and just all of these just really sad things if you think about it for too long. Yeah. But of course, Simon's hoping you don't think about it for too long.
You know, I because of my living situation, I think my mother is in her early 80s. I think about that. So I was, you know, I caught that very early on.
Yeah.
By the way, New Jersey is in the country.
You know, I mean,
hey, I'm kidding. New Jersey is kind of everything. It's got farmland and suburbs and city up north, and you know,
the beach. Well, if you think about it, before, I would say before the 50s.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like even North Jersey, where we think of it as just complete sprawl, blight, whatever. Was farmland.
Yeah, true.
You know, like the place where my grandparents, their house, I mean, they were one of those houses that was built in the 19th century, and then everything kind of built up around it throughout until like the 70s when I'm kind of come along. I'm like, what do you mean this used to be farmland?
Also, the moving furniture gag.
Oh my God, that was genius.
It was incredibly predictable, but it was funny as hell.
Well, it was predictable, but you didn't expect it to go on for
It went on really well.
And then then the other one starts doing the other thing, and then, I mean,
and that whole scene ends with Matthew shouting "Enter!" out the window.
Enter.
Incidentally, Burns has a line about I don't know how many years I have left. He had about 20 years left at that point.
Yes, that's crazy. He really lived till 95. 96. Wow.
I double checked because I knew, I thought it was maybe 10 years. He made it into the mid 90s.
Because sure, it was like one of the PSAs I cut was George Burns talking about his doctor being dead.
Yeah.
He's still alive then. Son of a bitch.
Another thing that dates it is the nurse.
First,
when they're talking about casting her and then the character in general, that would not fly these days, even if it was in that context.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole bit that they did, just no. No. I don't think that would have flown just even a couple years ago, let alone now.
And one of my other few criticisms of the movie, the timing in the actual sketch was a little bit fast.
It was really, yeah, the actual sketch itself was really bad.
Well, the jokes were hackneyed, and you know, of course, but the way they were kind of racing through it kind of didn't do service to the jokes. And maybe that was intentional. Maybe they were deliberately trying to make it look even worse.
But there was some other dude in it. I mean, it was just...
Well, they cast the nurse, you know, they told them, you know, we need to cast this nurse. Maybe there
they
was
talked about the nurse. They didn't talk about the other patient in the beginning. True. It didn't fit the sketch.
Mm-hmm.
It really didn't. It didn't play like a vaudeville sketch.
It was there to show them blowing up at each other and then leading to the heart attack.
Right, but it wasn't a convincing vaudeville sketch.
And when the nurse screamed when he had the heart attack, that felt so much like an insert shot that didn't need to be there. You know, Clark collapses while walking upstairs with his nephew, and they're at the theater or at the studio.
Right.
And
the blow up.
As soon as he drops, they cut to the woman who played the nurse just screaming bloody murder, and then back to the two of them. It was a weird insert shot that they could have just left out, and the scene would have worked better. And then Matthew actually turned out to have better chemistry with the woman who played the nurse.
Yeah, that stuff wouldn't have flown either.
Yeah, true. Well, this movie, well, we'll get to sequels and remakes. But just real quickly, I didn't see Lewis moving into the actor's home, so.
I kind of did.
I didn't predict that, and maybe I should have. But maybe that was another case where I was too so caught up that I didn't, you know, think ahead. But it was kind of obvious in hindsight. But I love the ending.
And fitting that they have to finally deal with each other.
And it ends with the two of them just talking. Yeah. And it was a very nice ending. Just last bit of trivia. Woody Allen originally asked to direct, but he was more interested in playing the role, was asked to direct. He was more interested in playing the role of Lewis and declined the offer.
It doesn't make any sense, though. I mean, how he was only like, what, 30 or 40 years old back then? I know,
he was too young for Lewis at the time.
It's crazy that Matthau was playing it, but I couldn't see Woody Allen playing it.
And there were a lot of actual vaudeville era actors, other than Pope or Burns, of course.
Oh, of course, all those Friar Club scenes.
Bob Hope and Bing Crosby were proposed as the leads. And then Groucho Marx and Phil Silver were considered.
I would have loved to have seen that, honestly. Yeah. Groucho Marx and Phil Silvers.
Eventually, Red Skelton and Jack Benny. Skelton wasn't getting paid enough. Benny found out he had cancer. And then Matthau and Burns were brought in. It was Burns' first movie since 1939,
which is crazy. But
this
I mean,
what launched his career as the guy as the George Burns that we know.
He was a TV guy for really a long time. I mean, he wasn't a movie guy. Like Burns and Allen, you know, that was huge for TV, but it was just a different genre then
in that era. But in the modern, in the era that we know. You know, the old George Burns who we grew up with. This is what launched that.
Yeah. Which is hard to imagine that you wouldn't want to put him in a movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he turned up for rehearsals having learned the entire script by rote. He figured it would make him harder to replace. He learned an entire script.
Of course. I mean, he was like, what, the third guy in or fourth guy? I mean, you didn't want to replace him at that point,
Yeah, of course. And he was amazing, as was Matthau. Little sequels and remakes, just because it occurs to me you couldn't remake this now.
Well, it has been like,
it's been produced on live in theater. This would not play as a movie because nobody would get it. It's too far gone from that era.
I mean, it's had like six different, or like a bunch of remakes.
Well, there was a 96 one, 96 television adaptation. But 20 years after that, I don't think this as a movie would fly. I just think the vaudeville era is so far gone that you would have to set it in the 70s, and I don't think that would play either.
I think the vaudeville stuff, if you actually did real vaudeville stuff, would still play out.
That would play,
It's, it's slapstick. It's
That's eternal. You just need the right people to play it. And you'd have to bring in some, serious improv comics.
I think the one glaring flaw of the movie is that the vaudeville sketch is a 1970s vaudeville sketch, It's a Benny Hill sketch, pretty much. It's very 70s. Mm. And I think if he had actually done a real vaudeville sketch, I think it would have been more timeless, actually. Which is odd to think about it, if you think about making it older to make it timeless. But
On to Brains. I really enjoyed it. A couple of issues with the chemistry and, some of the timing. But I'm going to go 4.
I'm going 4 too. Walter Matthau's worth the price of admission alone.
And Burns. I got to keep shouting at Burns. In those quieter scenes, he really just blew me away. His acting.
I mean, you really, there's a point you really think Matthau's going to just fucking kill Burns when he pulls the knife.
Right.
You're really just like, wow, wait a minute. Is Neil Simon really going to give us a turn of a murder of some sort? I mean, he does do a heart attack, but He doesn't usually get that serious, so.
And what have we learned?
The Frumpy's potato chips. I don't know.
I learned that pickle is funny.
Well, there's too much sodium in them.
Anyway, that's it for the Sunshine Boys. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Shaft.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you heard that correctly. The Shaft.
I think I put that on the list like 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago. Who knows?
Yeah, we're finally getting to it. It was at, actually, we need to come up, we need to re, to extend the list a little bit because we're getting close to what we have lined up.
Isn't that funny? We used to be like hundreds away from it at one point.
Yeah, at the beginning of this, I think last spring, we were, you know, well ahead, but we're getting there. I had to cut Alien Autopsy because I just can't find copies of it. Anyway,
Alien Apocalypse.
I'm sorry, Alien Apocalypse, yes. Easy to find Alien Autopsy. Anyway, until next time, when we'll be reviewing Shaft, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.